Throughout history, we've seen how extremes would beget extremes. Whether it's in politics or the economy or religion. The group known as the Pharisees basically arose this way. While many, if not most, of the Jews during the 2nd and 3rd century BC were becoming more and more like their Gentile neighbors, there arose a group, the Pharisees, who went in the opposite direction. In other words, they were becoming very exclusive. They insisted on keeping the Mosaical law, but also they insisted on keeping the traditions of the elders, customs, applications, interpretations of the law. And often these went far beyond what God's Word said. They claimed, and this is what made them such an exclusive group, they claimed these, the customs, the applications, the interpretations, were just as binding as the law itself. And when their traditions and God's law came in conflict, they would follow their traditions before they would follow God's Word. Jesus pointed this out to them in Mark chapter 7. He says this to them, Mark chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Mark chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 6. This is Jesus. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." And so that's the group that Jesus probably had more to say to and about than any other group. Now, the Pharisees had some commendable characteristics, but it was their attitudes and how inconsistently they applied God's Word that was kind of at the heart of Christ's rebukes of them. And some of His most severe rebukes were directed toward this group. But today, we can have the same type of attitude. We can apply the Bible just as inconsistently as they did. And so in this evening's lesson, we're going to look at first what Jesus said to them and see how it's possible for us today to follow in their steps. And so as a result, hopefully, we will not follow in their steps. So we have to look very carefully at our text tonight, which is Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 30. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 30. We're going to divide this into several different sections because Jesus addresses several topics when He talks to these Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, the first four verses says this, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So Jesus tells His followers here to obey them when they actually spoke the truth. In other words, when they spoke God's Word, He said, obey them. And He commends them when they do that. But He warns of the fact that they could be hypocrites. Because He said they will bind heavy burdens on followers, but they won't even lift a finger to do them themselves. These burdensome laws were laws God didn't authorize. They would often take some teaching of God, of the law of Moses, and extend it and add to it way beyond what God said. And these would become their customs, their traditions. What about us today? We have to be certain that everything we teach or everything we preach actually comes from God's Word and not our own traditions. In other words, were not to make matters of judgment as though they were matters of doctrine. And we have to be very careful about this. It's easy to make allowances for ourselves, our families, our friends, but not for others. Like the Pharisees, we can condemn a fault in others, but maybe we, or our family, or our friends, are just as guilty. Something we have to be very careful about, because that's being a modern-day Pharisee. In James chapter 2, James warns about this very thing. Read with me verses 8 and 9. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Says this, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. How easy it can be for us to show partiality. In other words, we could condemn someone for some particular sin, but we might be just as guilty as them, and we overlook it in ourselves. Or maybe someone in our family is just as guilty, but we overlook it in them. Well, that's being a modern-day Pharisee. We're not willing to bind those burdens on ourselves that we bind on others. Something we must be careful about. The second category begins in verse 5 of Matthew 23 and goes down to verse 12. But all their works, talking about the scribes and Pharisees, they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you're all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now we see something else that Jesus condemns about the Pharisees. One of their biggest problems was they wanted to show off their religion. That's what he condemns them for. They wanted to show off their religion. Is that possible today to do? Well, of course it is. We have to be very careful about our attitude, about why we do things. See, the Pharisees wanted to go about, they wanted the best seats. They changed how they looked outwardly so that when people saw them, they would think, wow, look how religious they are. Or wow, look how spiritual they are. Or wow, look how great teachers of the law they are. And that was the reason they did it. So when they did these things outwardly, they did them just for that reason, because they wanted people to think highly of them. Is that possible today? Of course it is. We have to be careful. Is the reason we attend services simply because we want people to think we're religious? That's something to be careful about, isn't it? Our attitude when we come to services needs to be because we're coming to worship God. Not to show off to the world that, yeah, we're religious. Look at me, I'm attending services. Wow, I'm a religious person. So see, these Pharisees had that attitude. They wanted people to think, wow, look how religious those people are. Look at how great I am. And if that's the way we are, we should just stay home. He stresses here about how careful we must be to be humble. See, our humility is so important when we are out in the world, when we're with people at work, when we're with our neighbors, wherever. We have to be careful about our humility, our attitude, whether we're really living this life for the right reasons. Because the Pharisees weren't. They weren't doing these things for the right reason. And many of these things were good in and of themselves, but they weren't doing them with the right kind of heart. Their attitude was wrong. It was all about them. In other words, they were promoting themselves. Look at how great I am. And Jesus was condemning them for it. Because they weren't humble, because they didn't have the right spirit and attitude, they weren't being sincere. They just wanted for people to think they were really religious. And how awful that is. But again, it's something we have to be very careful about. We need to remember that we are just a servant of God, and we're to be a servant of God, whether we're out where people can see us or not. I remember reading, this was years ago, I'm surprised I still remember it, the way my memory is sometimes, but character is how you act when no one's looking. I love that definition of character. It's how you act when no one's looking. See, the Pharisees were only concerned when people were looking. That's the only time they were really trying to be religious. Are people looking? See, they would go to the marketplace because that's where the most people were. So they could change their outward appearance and really look religious. So it's examination of the heart. Then he goes on in verses 13 and 15 and says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." So the Pharisees did everything they could to keep people out of the kingdom, including themselves. That's what they were doing. They would go, as it says, far and wide to win a proselyte. But they were winning a proselyte really to themselves. That's what they were doing. They were winning people to themselves, and as a result, were making those people worse off. So we have to be careful that we don't become a modern-day Pharisee. That we don't go and try to make proselytes to us. We don't want to make disciples to us. We're to help people become disciples of Christ, not disciples of us. And that's, I think, a ever-present danger, is that we don't make or try to make disciples of us. You know, sometimes when a modern-day Pharisee converts one to his way of thinking on matters of opinion, the proselyte often carries that opinion too far. There are matters of opinion. There's matters of opinion. It's all right if I make a law for myself. I've known people, and this is a great law for many people, that, and they've made it for themselves, that they wouldn't shop anywhere that sold alcohol. And they made that a law for themselves. It's really hard to do nowadays. But years ago, that was a law they made for themselves. But the Pharisees would do that and then bind that on other people. And that's something we have to be careful that we don't do, is bind laws, bind those opinions on other people. You know, Romans chapter 14 talks very specifically about these matters of judgment and matters of opinion and how we should view them, and that's a great study. But these Pharisees would go out and try to make disciples of themselves, and they would take their matters of judgment and opinion, these traditions, and teach them to these disciples. And often they would teach them to the disciples to the extent that the disciples would carry it even farther. And how wrong they were for that. Something, again, we must be careful about. Then he moves on. Verse 16. "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it's nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that's on it, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. The Pharisees had twisted God's word to fit their own desires. Their faulty reasoning produced faulty conclusions. Jesus calls them fools and blind. Our modern day application is we have to take a great deal of effort to make sure that what we believe actually comes from God's Word. We can't just go to God's Word to look for what we want to find. We have to go to God's Word as open-minded as we can be to see what it actually teaches. And that takes a great deal of effort. And people often have trouble, as we have mentioned before on Wednesday night, with figurative language. Instead of taking the time to understand what that language is teaching, they will take that figurative language and make it literal and come up with some bizarre application or teaching that God never intended. Or others will want something to be true, and so they'll go to God's Word and try to manipulate it and turn it upside down and twist it around until they think they have found that that's actually what God's Word teaches. That's what the Pharisees did. We want to make sure we don't follow in their steps. The next two verses, verses 23 and 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The Pharisees stressed certain things to the exclusion of others. Now, they were very careful to tithe even these little garden herbs, which was a good thing for them to do. But they neglected showing mercy and kindness to people who were in need. They were spiritually out of balance. They were out of balance. They did some things that were right, but they completely neglected some other things that were right that they needed to do. We can do the same thing today and be modern day Pharisees. We can stress church attendance to the exclusion of evangelism. We can stress heaven to the exclusion of hell. We can stress outward acts to the exclusion of having a good heart. All of those things I mentioned are essential, not just some or others, but all. And so if we don't want to follow in their footsteps, we're going to make sure that we're not out of balance and stress some things and not stress others, when all of it's God's Word and all of it's important. He moves on, verse 25 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now these Pharisees were so careful to follow external observances, things that could be seen by men. If it could be seen by people, then they were very scrupulous in observing it. But the things that couldn't be observed by people, they cared less about. And he stresses that. He says, yeah, outwardly, you look pretty good, like that whitewashed tomb. Or that cup, you wash the outside of the cup, it's the inside of the cup that's really important. That's what the Pharisees were doing. You could see the outside of the tomb. You could see the outside of the cup, not the inside. So the Pharisees were so careful to do those outward things so that people could see them. But all the things that were inward, their attitude, their concern for others, they completely neglected. God's rule for us has always been clean the inside first. In Jeremiah 4:14, we have these words, God telling the people, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness that you may be saved. Jesus wants his people to be righteous according to his standard, not their own. And how easy it can be sometimes to go through outward motions but not have our heart in it. Well, that's the Pharisees. That's the Pharisees. And then lastly, verses 29 and 30. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Something else Jesus condemns the Pharisees for, and that is they pretended to be better than they really were. They weren't any better than their forefathers. They weren't any better than these other people, but they pretended to be. They said, oh, if we would have seen that and been there, we wouldn't have done it. Yeah, they probably would have. So they were pretending to be better. They were pretending to honor the men of God in the past, but they didn't. This is something else we have to be so careful about, is that we don't pretend to be better than other people. Pretend to be more righteous, in other words, than other people. To be more spiritual than other people. Pride comes from Satan. Pride comes from Satan. So it's something that we have to work on, is that we don't fall into that trap of Satan, of pride and arrogance and being spiritually superior to other people. Which means we have to be on constant guard. These Pharisees were at the receiving end of some of Christ's most severest rebukes, and most of it had to do with the fact that inside they were rotten. It wasn't outside, it was inside. Their heart, their attitude, their spirit, their motives were all dark and evil and just wrong. And Jesus could see inside. Jesus could see inside the people and see what they were like, see what their thoughts were and their attitudes were. And he rebuked them because of it. So yes, we can be modern day Pharisees if we're not careful. We have to guard our hearts. And think about how often the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, tell us we have to do that. Guard our hearts and minds. That's where Satan wants to get us. Satan wants, if he gets our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our thoughts, he has us. And he knows that. That's why the Bible tells us repeatedly to guard our hearts, guard our thoughts, guard our minds. Because we can fall into Satan's trap, because he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when we start being like Pharisees, we'll fall into his trap. This evening we have a great opportunity to make things right. If they're not right, if our relationship with God or others isn't right, we can make it right tonight. And I encourage you to make that decision if you need to, as we stand and sing this song.